You're always ready. No, he's never. Nobody's ready but me.
What the hell? He's always edging, you know.
You say edging?
I'm keeping that in. Speaking of edging, Chris Marler, Louisiana Sports Net.
Yeah, I've been debating on coming on this podcast all week.
it's in the air, isn't it? Huh? What do you think? Drink just got up there, made some wild. I think probably the wildest monologue that's been here since Shane Gillis. But what would you think about the 30-team playoff? That's apparently the one that's gaining traction online right now.
Let's go back to the first part about the wild, like, intro or monologue. I feel like, especially on a day like today, because this lineup sucks. I mean, it's not great. Arkansas, Mizzou.
We like Mizzou.
I mean,
like,
me
like
too.
Most people.
I mean, like,
at you.
Again, and I love Pittman.
How many Mizzou graphics you made?
My best friend went to Columbia or went to Mizzou.
And
is black.
He went up there somewhere.
No, I don't know how many Mizzou graphics I've made. Anyway, but like I like Drinkwitz a lot. Having him go last in front of like 12 people, like 9 a.m., you got to let him go longer. And also, I would enjoy him just doing 30 minutes of not football. Make him talk about the Epstein stuff and JFK or the moon landing.
And he would.
Yeah.
He absolutely would. And that's one of the things I like about Drink is just he's good conversation.
Yeah.
There's sometimes we get coaches, we get players, and it's just – it's almost like they're reading a script.
Yeah.
And Drink, you don't know what he's going to have, but at least he's honest. I feel like he's honest when he's telling you.
That was a weird comment about, I don't care what you guys think about me. I felt like he does care a little bit.
That's someone that very much cares.
Yeah, that's like something I would say. I'm not going to read the comments.
I didn't want to go there. But
yeah, and then just like Joe Dirt run away. That's the energy that came off. But no, I mean, like he's been, I think that he's got a chip on his shoulder no matter what. And the last 2 years, like people talk about South Carolina and Ole Miss and Bama, how they were like, you know, probably should have been in the playoff or whatever. Mizzou was right there. Mizzou, I mean, the way they lost at South Carolina was like horrible. And if they would have finished 10-2, like they would have been in the conversation. No one talks about it.
Well, speaking of something no one talks about, I don't know if you realize this. I love this stat because most people don't realize it. I know Pittman, people have him on his last leg, which I understand. But Pittman, Drink, and Kiffin are the third most longest tenured coaches in the conference right now. So they are the veterans. The only ones longer are Kirby Smart and Mark Stoops. And it seems like just yesterday those guys were hired, but Drink's been kicking ass and held 21 wins the last 2 years. I think he's got reason to come in here and kind of be loose and talk some trash.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Talk about Seaman. That was, I mean, like, the whole thing with him is he's so personable and he's likable. Like, Kiffin is funny. Like, especially on Twitter, but he's not super funny when it comes to like talking in person because his like digs and jabs feel so intentional. Like he's trying to get like under your skin. Whereas Drink is just like, it's like he's just talking shit with his friends.
Yeah.
We're not friends.
You know, this is kind of crazy. There's only four teams that have won more than 10 games the last two seasons in this conference, and Mizzou's one of them.
Wait.
Did you know that?
Say it again.
There's four teams in this conference that has won more than 10 games the last two seasons. Can you name them?
Yeah.
No.
Idiot.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Texas.
Yes. Mizzou. Obviously. And then, hold on, don't tell me.
There's one more.
It's not LSU.
Mm-mm.
It's not Auburn.
Nope.
Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I know everything.
But it's just... it blows my mind. We're going into year three of this, and probably out of those four, the least talked about.
Yeah. My least favorite – there's two cliche jokes that get made all the time by SEC fans. It's my least favorite thing. It's like – it's not funny. It's not creative. It's like just – the thing about like when somebody from Arkansas is like, oh, you probably fuck your cousin. You're like, well, you're from Arkansas, okay? Don't throw stones in glass houses with somebody in Mississippi. It's basically the same thing. But then the other one is, like, the Mizzou geography thing, like, they're not a part of the South. It is time to move on past that. And they've been a really good program. Like, people forget they beat Ohio State, the year before they won the national title. And they played Georgia better than anyone else in that span of 2 years as well. Like, they've been really good.
Speaking of needing to move on, you're an Alabama
guy. Okay.
Are you tired of I mean, just when it, to me, Kalen DeBoer's got momentum. No one left the portal. And now it's fucking here. Nick Saban might return. First question he got asked down there was, "What's your reaction to Nick Saban might return?" And it's total bullshit. We heard last night. There's absolutely nothing to it. But that took over, and there's a lot of people I hear are kind of upset that kind of took off. But to me, it's yet another thing Kalen DeBoer has to deal with. I don't think he's ever going to shake this unless he comes out here and whoops some ass next year and wins a conference like I'm saying they will.
Yeah, I know you don't actually mean that, but that's nice of you to do for the next 5 months of psychological warfare you're going to have. You're an emotional terrorist to me. The thing with DeBoer, I thought what you were going to say was, I thought he did really well yesterday. I thought he looked much better than he did the year before. There's been several coaches that feel like they are finally comfortable in their own skin in this setting. He seemed like one of them. And it felt like with all the stuff, that like the changes and all the things he was having to like walk into and, you know, like the player, they lost 41 players in the portal. And you know, he's down here trying to figure out like how to recruit and how to like do things his own way. And also Saban's still here. And like, that's a very difficult job in general, but especially because he's not from here. He has no ties to the SEC. People are making fun of his hairline. People are just very eager to like hope he fails. I think more so because of where he's coaching versus like who he is. I thought he did great yesterday, but like what I wish people would talk about was like, man, he had no turnover on his staff. He lost one assistant on defense. No one left in the spring portal. Is the only school that didn't happen to. It feels like they're either hitting stride or he's like learned and at least improved a lot from the year before. And I don't know who started the rumor, but the fact that but other people buying into it and then giving it any sort of life and being so like, I'm just gonna say this, and I know we're allowed to cuss on here, but like Bama fans being that fucking stupid to make that a narrative for longer than the sentence it was said, like it should have died right then. Don't clip that.
Flipping it as we.
But you know what I mean? Like it should have been said and then done.
I'll tell you why DeBoer didn't lose anyone, because they. All those coaches, those players, they caught wind. Saban's coming back. We're about to upgrade again.
It's so stupid. Like, Saban's, like on vacation. Like every time something stupid like that happens, I'll text Kristen, and she'll, like, send me, like, a live photo of him, like, on a go-kart or, like, at the lake. And I'm like, I don't think he's coming back, guys. Yeah.
But, I mean, I was telling Mike this yesterday. You kind of signed up for that. You knew that was going to happen.
I did not think that.
This lingering...
He was going to come back, rumors were going to start. I thought it was dumb enough, like the recruiting stuff. It's like, well, he took a picture with one of the recruits during a trip. He's clearly doing, like, behind all the recruiting. But, like, the idea that he would come back. When has he ever gone back on his word about leaving a place? You know what I mean?
Is it tough to be down there in Louisiana across enemy lines now?
I haven't moved there yet.
You're going to, though, right?
I'm going to in a week and a half.
Are you looking forward to it?
No. Moving in August... I will tell you
to
this.
To Louisiana?
Yeah. I came home like after Tuesday media days, and I'm early, actually it was yesterday. And I go to the apartment and me and my girlfriend who's moving with me, like we're a week away from doing this. And there's a lot of other stuff going on, like just work wise and everything. And I get home and she is like, "Did you see the kitchen?" And I was like, you packed everything. Okay. I don't think this is gonna be like a gesture of like, you know, selflessness. This is gonna be hung over my head for like the next several weeks. So thank you for doing that. Yeah. So it's been a tough week.
Are there any teams, Chris, that of anything you've gleaned, talking to people, seeing the coaches, players, whatever, that maybe you're a little bit higher on exiting SEC media days? Who tops that list
well,
for you?
First of all, I want to keep talking about my relationship for a second. No, I tell you what, I've been kind of high on Auburn.
Back over here.
I've been pretty high on Auburn, I feel like, because I thought they were going to be a lot better last year. The roster that they have in place is the best roster they have had at Auburn in 10 to 15 years. It's probably the best roster that Hugh's ever had. They are so talented at so many important positions. You know, when you think about it, even the Auburn teams that were good under Malzahn, I mean, they never had an offensive line they could recruit. You could never recruit and develop offensive linemen at all. They finally have a decent offensive line. The defense will be what it usually is, which is probably a top 30 defense nationally and pretty stingy. They got some stars on that side too, Jay Crawford in the secondary, and then also Kendrick Falk. That receiver room is incredible.
Well, they might be down one now.
Yeah, that's tough. Either way, I mean, well, I'm not going to say he's not important, but like, he's like probably.
Out of the ones, yeah.
Yeah. He's like probably the fourth
guy. Mike Gittin said he was the breakout candidate he had. And he told us this morning he doesn't think he'll be retained.
Is that the coldest take of all time? He was going to be the breakout candidate? He's in jail. Did he mean break out of jail? We got to call the cops. Anyway, so Shawshank aside.
They write themselves.
They, I think they're going to be good. The thing with Hughes.
Shawshank aside.
Yeah, breakout. So, like with the AU, you know what I mean? Shawshank. I think they're going to be good. There's a couple other teams I feel like that aren't getting as much love. Like I want to believe in Florida because I really like Lagway, despite what Twitter thinks. He's the most likable player in the country. Like,
it didn't seem
is he the worst person in the country? No, he's just the way he carries himself and like the way he's like been committed to that school and Napier. I hope that they win. That schedule is very difficult. And the other one I'm foolishly buying in on because no one else is for some reason, but it's Tennessee. The schedule's still pretty easy. I mean, you get Georgia at home and Bama on the road. Those are probably losses. But, like, Heupel seems very comfortable. And I just keep going back to the fact that, like, if you're saying that we were talking about them as a playoff-contending team before Nico left, and then a quarterback that completed 61% of his passes, had one total touchdown all year against ranked competition, he was statistically the worst first-year quarterback in Heupel's offense since Drew Locke. So I don't know why that, like losing that, is all of a sudden going to turn you into a 7-5 team instead of a 10-2 team. So I don't know anything about Joey Aguilar. Sounds like a phenomenal middle infielder from the mid-90s. But if I feel like the drop-off can't be that bad.
I've heard a lot of his strengths are where Nico's weakest. You know, throwing downfield.
He's good with money.
Good with money. He doesn't stare down receivers. He'll go through the progressions. He'll hang in the pocket. He'll take a hit. And again, if Nico was back, I'd probably have him 6 or 7 in my quarterback ranks. So I'm not dogging on Nico. I anticipated him to take a big step this year. And getting Joey after spring, less than ideal, clearly. But
well, he said like there's still a competition.
Yeah. So locked on Gamecocks.
We're not ending this yet. No, we got another 30 minutes.
I know. I was going to ask you.
Yeah, locked on Gamecocks.
Is that the name? No, they still have you?
Yeah, they okay. do. Yeah.
People that we've talked to here, they share the same opinion we have. Little Air Sellers, best quarterback in the SEC. I mean, if let's say he takes another step forward. He took a massive step from week 1 to week 12. Let's say he takes another, if that's even possible, step forward this year. I think South Carolina is going to make the college football playoff if he's got that in him.
Yeah. He's the key because that schedule is very difficult. And not because of like, it's not because like what it usually would be is like, oh, Clemson's ranked and South Carolina's not. Like, Clemson might be the best team in the country on paper to start the year and how talented that roster and that defense is. South Carolina, everybody that keeps saying that, like, yeah, you know, that schedule's just too tough. And it's like, did you fall asleep during the last 6 weeks of last year? Like, they won 6 straight games. 4 against ranked opponents, and they for the most part beat everyone like a drum on the road. Besides the game they lost to Bama, the thing with Sellers is he gets labeled as a runner, and somehow his athleticism, like him being such a good athlete, equates in the minds of people that he's like somehow not a good thrower. There's a reason for that. There's a reason. We're not going to get into what it is, but him being so athletic and such a good runner, all of a sudden like. He completed like 71% of his passes like in the last 5 or 6 games of the year. Like he's been really good, and he did that with so much less around him than what he has now. And the offensive line, I don't want to say it's better, but it can't be worse. Josiah Thompson, former 5-star, you know, going to year 2 at left tackle. Hopefully Faison ends up being the running back, and the NCAA really clears him. But that receiver room, man, it's you've had guys that were either like 5'8", 5'10", slot guys playing on at every single position, hoping Nick Harbor is going to finally like turn the corner. Nick Harbor said something like a couple weeks ago that was frustrating and also great at the same time. He's like, yeah, I finally learned all the routes in the route tree. Sick, dude. So I just think they're going to be a lot better there. And that's the good news because they're going to be able to score a lot of points. And They lose the OC, but they get a guy that's been 40 years as a coach, mainly at the NFL level.
I got one. 60 seconds. Say something good about Kentucky.
No.
You got 60 seconds.
Zach Calzada has got a really good arm. He's got a really good arm. I tell you what, they are at their best when there are no expectations. And whenever they have expectations, they fall short of them, like, largely. Is that a correct grammar? Yeah. I mean, they beat Ole Miss last year. Top five team on the road. First top five one on the road since 1977. And then lost 8 straight games.
Cost Ole Miss playoff.
Yeah.
So I asked you, who are you higher on exiting media days? Are there any teams that
you're
lower on?
We got 30 seconds in Kentucky.
What do you have, like a commercial break? What are you talking about?
Any teams you're lower on? And it could be Kentucky.
Him, for one. Yeah. This team, us three right now. Teams I'm lower on, I think, I don't want to say Georgia. People are like really just in awe of Kirby speaking. I love hearing Kirby speak. And like, he's just a different breed. This year, it felt like it was a lot more, like not pyramid scheme, but just like very sales pitchy. Like, yeah, man, youthful exuberance. He said youthful exuberance like 7 times. And like those, like, the little catchphrases and stuff like that, I just felt weird coming from Kirby because he's so, like, authentic about how, like, you know, what he thinks about his team. It just felt off. I don't know. But I don't know how far they would drop. I think Georgia's going to be really good.
So they're not making a bowl game?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard?
7-5. No, I think – I don't – I assume that roster is just always going to be loaded, loaded, loaded. He made a couple comments about how, like, you know, how much youth is in that secondary and other places like that. And, like, the offensive line being a problem ever since Matt Luke left has just not been talked about that much. But I will tell you, Nate Frazier is not getting anywhere close to the amount of attention he should be because he might be one of the best backs in the country.
So when you say lower, what are we talking here? I mean, so it sounds to me like they're still in the playoffs.
I think that they are going to – look like the teams of the past where, like, they're not going to boat race other teams, like, out of the gates. No, like, 2021, there were some games, like, the Clemson games, like, 10-3, and there's, like, games where they kind of struggled early, and as the season went on, Stetson got better and better and better. I think you'll see a work in progress to start this year where they're not going to reveal too much, and they won't have to because the way the schedule's set up. You know, I just – anytime you give Kirby constant ammo and like – the idea that Texas is somehow still the favorite after they lost to them twice on the field, it's wild to me. So I think Kirby with a chip on his shoulder, I like that.
Georgia and ammo, that's dangerous. All right, Chris, I don't know if you know this. We're brought to you all week by MyBookie. They're our presenting sponsor. They're paying our way to be here. So we're asking everybody that sits down for their MyBookie boldest take for the upcoming season. Anything you want in the SEC. Give us a bold take.
Bold take. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of any of the betting lines that are out there. I do think Vandy's going to be over 3.5 wins. I feel like that's a lock. So I like that. But from a betting line standpoint, any ACC matchup versus the SEC, like Virginia Tech and South Carolina, I think it's like a 12.5 point spread. I think you hammer South Carolina in that one. So I would say that. And the only other one I would have.
Syracuse?
No, that's going to be a good game.
Said hammer the SEC?
I forgot Syracuse in the
Florida,
ACC.
Miami?
Virginia Tech and...
you know what? Let me rephrase this. Just hammer South Carolina, Virginia Tech. forgot Florida was playing Miami. I will say, I think outside of the SEC, Clemson over 10.5 wins is the absolute lock of the year. It's, I mean, even if they lose LSU, who do they play the rest of the year besides South Carolina?
I don't know. Hell, I don't watch that league.
I'm going to start that ACC podcast.
Do it. No one will watch it.
Yeah. Not at all.
Anything you got, Shane?
No, that was it. That was pretty much it. I didn't even get 60 seconds of Kentucky, so I'm a little...
Why would you want that?
Well, it's Kentucky Day. I just feel like...
They got to care before we do.
I feel like there's some folks out there that care.
They don't.
Ollie's
not
watching this.
We didn't even talk Mississippi State.
Ollie, yeah, let's talk his favorite Kentucky fan, Ollie.
I like the Mississippi State thing.
That'll do better than talking Kentucky football.
Talk about Ollie.
Would you like to apologize or say hello?
You want me to apologize?
I think you should.
I think it's time.
Hold on.
Ollie's a diehard Kentucky fan. You offended him. You offended me.
You couldn't even
frankly.
Give him 60 seconds.
I tell you what. I will fake apologize if you, Michael Bratton, acknowledge that everything that I said after Kentucky's kind of shitty on that podcast 3 years ago was incredibly accurate, and everything that I said is exactly how that game played out.
Oh yeah, you nailed it, but I didn't appreciate the tone.
Yeah, it was just like the Tennessee Georgia thing where you fucking blew that up on Twitter, and I had like, that was the worst. They were after my mom. She's got one leg.
Does she really?
No, she's got two legs. I'm just trying to get to that.
Get yeah. All right, before we go, Chris, tell the audience how to follow you and how to find all your work on the various platforms you have it.
Locked On Gamecocks for South Carolina coverage, and we'll be working with Cover Crimson, doing some Bama stuff in the fall. LouisianaSports.net is the website with ESPN 104.5 in Baton Rouge, covering the SEC there, and a lot of positive Tennessee stuff on that. And Vern Funquist on Twitter.
Man, do you have time for anything else?
No, not myself. Not my health.
Perfect. Need to pack that kitchen up.